Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat as I heard him ask we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Yo, 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 what's up? Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how are you doing tonight, my brother?
Well, I'm pretty good. You know, I had to fire your studio audience, so my apologies for that. But, you know what, I feel like I'm at the end of a freaking marathon today. It's not been a good last couple of days.
Well,
you got to look at it this way, okay? You just got to look at it. That's all you can do anymore.
Yeah, that's how you got to look at it, Chris.
I'll just look at it.
Yeah, look at it that way, because that's all you can do anymore.
That's it.
I just got off the phone with you prior to going on air live. Well, no, we were on air, but just our pre-air moment or whatever you want to call it. We got 15 minutes that we kind of discussed what we're going to go over on the show. And Chris was telling me some stuff about how his last day or two has gone, including how he feels. Chris, why don't you go ahead and tell the studio audience, our live audience, what has going on with you the last day or two?
Oh, man. Well, you know, they were. It was a cluster. I was at the John Deere plant in Waterloo, Iowa yesterday to get loaded. And what ended up happening was it was crazy around there because with it dropping down, you know, to 35 below zero and stuff, basically they were trying to get a bunch of tractors out while they could still start them because, yeah, they store them outside. And, yeah, they're not going to be able to go in and feed and all that stuff, all the tractors. So, yeah, long story short, they asked me to move one, pick one up and move it out to this other storage facility we use because it was required to be up by contract. Each tractor was taking me 4 hours. So I literally spent the entire day in sub-zero temperatures on 2 inches of snow getting these tractors loaded, chained up and then unloaded, you know, a mile down the road. And I mean, it was just a miserable experience. Everything was covered with that grayish, dark gray road slush. My gloves were wet, you know, and I had no doubt in my mind that is what led to the onset of this terrible, you know, I got an earache and my throat feels like, you know, somebody's, you know, running a file down it. Just a bad day. But so I got stuck in Waterloo last night because I couldn't run. It's an oversized permit load. And had to sit there overnight. Of course, the storm caught up to me. Tried to let it pass this morning and pull out behind it. And I got all of 20 miles down the road past the way station. DOT came, even though the way station was closed, DOT came flying up behind me, pulled me over, reminded me that I'm not supposed to be driving on a permit load if there's any accumulation of snow on the road. Well, when I left Waterloo, the road was perfectly clear. It was dry and plowed, you know, from shoulder to shoulder. But once I got on 380, the left lane had a little bit of snow. So I will just say I suspect that he might be one of the new DOT guys because usually as long as we have one good clear lane, they'll still let us run. But he was like, nope. He's like, I'm shutting you down. You know, next exit there's a truck stop and you got to go park there. So now I got my trailer, you know, disconnected from me and made arrangements to keep it there. It's 230 miles from home, and I bobtailed the rest of the way home because I'm not missing Christmas to sit at, you know, some little truck stop in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. So that's pretty much where I am. Then I've got a fever, and I kept forgetting that we had the radio show tonight. So, yeah, it's been a fun day.
Well, that's the life of a truck driver. It all depends on what your dedication is and where your priorities lie. I took a load out on Monday morning from Minnesota out to Morris, Illinois, and which is kind of weird because you live near that area, I should say, of Illinois.
Right.
And I'm, you know, we were in opposite areas. And but anyway, I took that load out to Illinois, and I heard the storm was moving in, and I basically told my dispatch, like, if you don't have nothing for me by noon on Tuesday, I'm just going home empty. That's 580 miles or 570 miles. And that's what I ended up doing. I ended up driving home empty. And it cost me probably $400 in fuel. But guess what? I've been at home since Tuesday night. I've watched it snow. I've watched it blow. And I'm not sitting in my frickin' death box of a truck for the next 4 days because travel's not advised and I can't move anywhere. So you ask yourself the question, was it a good idea for me to do what I did? Was it a good idea for you to do what you did? I think both of us have the same priorities. We wanted to be with our families for Christmas. And I made the decision to drive back empty Tuesday. And today, after DOT shut you down, which I think was questionable at best, you made a decision to bobtail home the 240 miles. Now, what people don't understand, oh, it's only 240 miles that he had to go home. He's got to go 240 miles back to get that trailer that's loaded when he's ready to go. So, and not to mention, you know, Chris kind of got caught up in some shitty weather. And when we say shitty, those of you that have never, you know, lived or driven in this kind of weather, it's not fun. It's very stressful, and it takes a lot out of you. So my hat's off to you, brother. You tried to do your best, and you're still going to get home for Christmas. And that's why Chris is going to leave the show early tonight. We were talking pre-show, and he just doesn't feel good, and his wife is coming to pick him up. And I certainly, without a shadow of a doubt, understand that. And after what he's gone through, you know, the last day or two, definitely a well-deserved break. So, and I have plenty of material over tonight with the audience. So, go ahead, Chris.
I'm pretty much going to go home and collapse once I get this thing parked here in about 10 minutes. And I tell you what, though, coming down the road today, I couldn't even tell you how many accidents, trucks in the ditch, trucks mangled up, you know, on top of each other. I saw one really bad one. I don't see how in the world the driver survived this crash, although the chatter on the radio was that the driver did survive. But imagine, if you could, just a truck cab, a sleeper cab, just completely obliterated, and, you know, part of the engine setting about 6 inches from the driver's seat. Roof gone. I don't see how in the world he survived that. That was a rough one. He obviously had plowed into the back of another dry van and must have been going a pretty good rate when he did. But you know, I forgot to mention, as I was talking about the last couple of days, yesterday there was one other issue that I had when I was on my way down to Waterloo. Well, that was actually the day before. You know, I actually crossed paths with this real unsavory character out on 218. And, you know, I had to send a gesture his way to let him know how I felt.
Yeah. Who was that you crossed paths with?
It was some really big bald guy. And he was pulling a reefer. I don't know.
Oh,
he was screaming.
You wouldn't have been the guy that I passed that was giving me the middle finger, were you?
Well, were you on 218?
Yes.
Oh, that was probably me then.
Yeah, me and Chris were on the phone on Tuesday as I was on my way home empty, and he said, "Where are you at?" And I told him, and I said, "Well, where are you at?" And he goes, "Oh," he told me, and I said, "Well, we're probably going to meet right by Waterloo." And I think we were about 20, 25 miles outside of Waterloo, and we met.
Yeah, right about there.
And the good Christian that I am, I waved at my friend Chris as I was going the opposite direction. And as I looked over, as I was waving, I seen a big middle finger directed toward my direction. And I thought,
that wasn't very nice.
Needed to be humbled. Well, if that's the truth, if that's the case, then every truck I meet on the road should give me the middle finger, because I need a lot of humbling. Oh, Lord Almighty. No, that...
All right.
It's a very rare occasion that we run into each other. What's the last time we ran into each other was just before July 4th, I believe, like June 20th or something, down in Illinois somewhere. We got to go out and have a bite to eat and a few beers.
Oh, yeah, that was down in Peru.
Yeah, Peru, Illinois. Yeah, there's a nice – what's that bar called, that bar and grill down there?
The Cabin Fever.
Yeah, the Cabin Fever. Let's give them a little plug, because they have – not only do they have excellent food, great selection of beer, and but they have – spectacular service, very great people that work over there at the Cabin Fever in Peru, Illinois. So if you get down in that neck of the woods, by the way, they're not paying us to say this, so we just do this every once in a while to places that we visit. Just give them a little plug. They have no association or political affiliation or any association or affiliation with this show and don't necessarily agree with our political views. I just have to say that as a disclaimer because I don't want to hurt their business. I want to bring them customers. But the Cabin Fever in Peru, Illinois, damn good food, damn good service, and damn good wait staff and cooks. So just wanted to put that out there. But, yeah, how far you got to go yet, Chris?
I'm literally just right around the corner from my parking spot. So.
Okay. Why don't you say your goodbyes for Christmas and say what you want to say, and then we'll move on with the show without you, my brother.
All right. I appreciate it. And as always, I appreciate everybody that tunes in and listens to us out here. And you know what? I hope you all have blessed, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. And we'll see you on the next one right before the new year. And I wish I was hanging out tonight. I know you got some great topics lined up. And, man, have a good show, Jeremy. And I know I was hoping to hang out until Daryl got on. I know he's finishing up. This weather's got everybody messed up. But that's it. So Daryl and Kim, let them know I said Merry Christmas. Well, I'll let them know, too, in the chat group later. But that's it. That's all I got to say. I am going to go park my little bobtail truck and go home and collapse.
Sounds good, Chris. Hey, man, Merry Christmas. We'll catch you next week after Christmas. I hope you're feeling better, and I hope you enjoy your time off. All right, everybody, that was Chris. Chris is, I'm going to turn his mic off now so he can do what he's got to do. Hope he's gone anyway. So Chris is going to take the rest of the night off. It doesn't mean the show will stop. I've got plenty of topics to go over tonight. Well, material. I wouldn't call it topics, but material. I wanted Chris to at least stay on for that, you know, the first few minutes to just to explain what we go through as truck drivers. It's not, our jobs aren't usually that physical. Like, we're not a construction worker that, you know, builds homes, or, you know, we're not a road construction worker that's pushing 130 degree tar. And we, our job is a much different than anybody else's. We go through a lot of psychological and mental stress. Number one, we're away from our families for sometimes weeks and months at a time. Like in our case this week, I was stressing out to make sure that I got back home in time before the weather hit so I didn't get stuck out on the road by myself through the holidays. Last week, Thursday, I had to stop because of weather down in Story City, Iowa. And I was down there for 36 straight hours because I didn't feel safe being on the roads. You know, my dispatch always says, well, Jesus, Jeremy, you've got over 2 million miles under your belt. You know what you're doing. I do know what I'm doing. It's not me that I'm worried about. It's everybody else on the road now that they're just throwing, giving CDLs, let them drive down the road. And you can see the accidents because of it. They said the ELD was going to save, you know, 26 lives a year. As it hasn't. It's cost people their lives because they're racing the clock. Even in bad weather, they're more worried about what that clock says rather than using common sense. And we prove that every single winter. Prior to the ELD, every once in a while you'd get a big pileup on I-80 or anywhere, somewhere in like Wyoming or Iowa in the wintertime. Now that's commonplace. Like almost every winter, you're seeing a 60, 70, 100, 120 car pileup because truck drivers don't use CBs in inclement weather where they could be warning each other. Part of that reason is because some of those drivers cannot speak or read English. And I mean, listen, I'm not I'm not trying to point out their race or any of that. It's a fact. And the other part is inexperienced drivers that are racing a clock going down the road way too fast for the conditions, not using a CB because their company doesn't allow it, and all of a sudden, you know, instead of them going 30 miles an hour, they're going 55, 60 on glare ice, and they come upon an accident. They can't stop. There's no way to stop, and they end up running in the back of another truck or a car, and it just can, it's a continuous motion. I've not just me, but there's many of us that have been screaming this from the mountaintops for a very long time about how unsafe the roads are because of the ELD. And even people in our own industry will say, well, you shouldn't be mad or worried about the ELD unless you were cheating on your logs before. I never call it cheating. You can call it whatever you want. I call it using common sense. Now, I want to give you a scenario. So if I left, I can go from where I live to Morris, Illinois, and it takes, on a good day, about 8 hours and 30 minutes, 8 hours and 45 minutes. Now, let's just say I run into inclement weather between here and there, and I have to slow it down a little bit, and then let's say it takes me 10 hours to get there instead. So I use an additional hour and 45 minutes if I didn't have my ELD. When I had the paper log, yes, I did lie because I used common sense and I was safe. I still put that I made it there in 8 hours and 30 minutes or 8 hours and 45 minutes, whatever the norm is. Yes, so there's an hour and 15 minutes longer that I drove that I'm not accounting for. But that's because I was using common sense and slowing down and driving for the conditions. And here's why I do that. Why should I have to give up an hour and a half of my time that is only paid by the mile? Because I use common sense. You have to ask yourself a question. Would you go into work on a Friday and your boss say, hey, you know what? I'm going to just not going to pay you from 8 to 8 till 9:30. So you have to still work, but you're not going to get paid. You wouldn't like that. It cuts into your paycheck. And at the end of the day, our paycheck, our margins are very narrow. We have to make things work a specific way. That's how trucking has worked and has always worked. So I don't feel bad for what other people say cheating is. No, I use common sense and I was safe. And to this day, I've been driving truck for nearly 20 years. I have over 2 million miles under my belt. I have never killed a person, and I have never been in an at-fault accident. I've been in numerous accidents, but not one of them was my fault. So that's called using common sense. And, you know, when you're driving 2 million miles, you can expect that you're going to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. So we just hope that when our time is near or comes up, that we're not at the wrong place at the wrong time where it's going to take our life. It's always in the back of our minds. And that's why I say when Chris was on the phone, you know, trucking it's a whole different job out here. When you get home, you need time to decompress from being off the road, from looking in the mirrors and constantly be in a state of awareness. And you need a couple hours just to sit and look at the wall and not have to worry about anything. Just sit and just decompress. But once you get out of that mode and you decide, okay, now I can get to living life, you're so damn exhausted from running hard. You know, guys normally will take that first night just to catch up on their sleep and rest because it's a peaceful rest, knowing that they don't have to worry about where they got to be. The next day, they get up and they try to make the family thing work. Spend time with the kids, spend time with the wife. The wife missed them. You know, all that stuff that you guys take for granted. A trucker has to do one day every 2 weeks because normally they get 1 or 2 days off every 2 weeks. That's kind of the whole turn. So now imagine you have to work your ass off. You got to be up for 14, 15, 16 hours a day for 2 straight weeks, and then you get home on a Friday night. You want to decompress. You want to get some rest, and then you have Saturday, and then you have Sunday off, but normally you leave Sunday night or you leave right away Monday morning. So you really don't get that full 2 days off. So Saturday is your day that you got to catch up with everything that life expects out of you and a relationship deserves. now you get back in your truck and you go again, and it's instant paying attention. Your head's on a swivel constantly. You're worried about your home because you don't feel, you know, you felt something was a little bit off with your wife or a little bit off with your child or a little bit off with this or that, and there's nothing you can do about it now because you are back on the road for another 11 to 12 days or 13 days, whatever it is that you're on the spin. And you've got to sit and let it mentally torture you now for the next 2 weeks while you're on the road, while you call in at home every night or they call you and you talk to them on the phone and you try to discuss it and it leads to an argument or it leads to this or it leads to that because you're being punished mentally. Most of the time by our own doing because we have so much time to think. But just imagine that's the life you live. That's what a truck driver has to go through. Now, take into effect during the holidays. You're still trying to make the paycheck. You want to take time off to be with your family for the holidays, but you still got to get a paycheck. Well, there's a storm moving in, like in Chris's sake and my sake. I knew it was going to be here in Minnesota by Wednesday. I was sitting in Morris, Illinois, I delivered Tuesday morning, and it's an 8.5-hour drive for me to get from there back home in Minnesota. And I thought, dude, I, if you don't have a load by noon, I'm hightailing my ass back home. And they didn't, and I did. I drove 8.5 hours empty on my own dime to make sure I got home. That's what happens in the trucking industry, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a lot of things out of our control that we just can't control. So you have to kind of plan ahead and decide, you know, what's more important? What's your priority? My priority is to be here with my family and the people that I care about and spending time with them. And that's what I did. Anyway, oh, yeah, that's a part of the trucking industry in a nutshell. I see that I got some people on chat, and I'm just going to tell you folks on chat, I'm not able to interact with you tonight just because I'm the only one on. It's just me. Usually we have Chris and Daryl and Kim. They're all Daryl's unloading right now. He'll join us here shortly. Kim has a prior engagement with her son that she has to take care of, and Chris is home. He's not feeling well. He's gone through hell the last couple of days, so I'm just going to take it from here. So I apologize that I'm not interacting with you guys on chat, but I want to get into a few things tonight. We'll probably keep the show just a little bit shorter than normal. I mean, I made it through the first half hour pretty good by being a motor mouth.
You got to look at it this way, okay? You just got to look at it. That's all you can do anymore.
Yeah, that's how I'm looking at it, sir. Thank you. anyway, I want to get to something that I have a lot of information on. I've been called a conspiracy theorist. I've been called every name in the book. This morning, a guy got on and told me that I should move to Russia. And I said, okay, deal. I'll move. I said, can you send me some money for a U-Haul? He goes, you bet I will. I said, okay, I'll send you over my information for my Cash App. And he says, you can load that U-Haul up with all of your BS, he said. I said, okay, I'll send you over the information for my Cash App. Could you send me a little extra money in case I need to get a trailer for that U-Haul to make sure that I can fit all of my facts in there? My BS. And he deleted his comment, and I haven't heard from him since. It's a typical social media, I'll call it bullshit because that's what it is. They don't like what you have to say. They refuse to look up your references to where you're coming from. Sometimes I don't post a reference. There's a lot of times I get on there just to stir the pot, and it works. And I've learned as of late to have some kind of a response that agrees with them calling me an idiot. I'll call myself an idiot, but then I don't know. I'm kind of condescending. I'm kind of a prick, and I don't mind because 9 times out of 10, these people address me as an asshole because I have a differing opinion than they do. even though it's on my platform, I didn't post my opinion on their platform. I posted it on my own, and they came across it, and now I'm an asshole because I have an opinion. Well, I'll be the first one to say to all of you, fuck off. I don't give a fuck what your feelings are. I've said that a million times, and I'll say it another million more. I'm not here for your fucking feelings. If you don't like the shit that I say, don't listen to me. Don't follow me. Block me. I don't care. But when I post on my own platform or when I talk on my own radio show, I will say whatever the fuck I want. And if you don't like it, kindly get the fuck out of here and block it. Don't ever listen to it again. I don't care. Somehow these people think that their opinion overrides my opinion on my platform, and I'm not allowed to have a differing opinion. Screw off, cocksuckers. Anyway, so I wanted to get to this whole Maricopa County, Arizona election fraud trial with Carrie Lake. And, dude, I'm telling you, yesterday and today has been, wow. It, like, they admit shit in court. Like, they're blatantly admitting in court that they were suppressing evidence. They weren't telling the public the truth. They're basically admitting fraud. So today, Arizona County Elections Director Scott Jarrett admits in court printer settings were switched on Election Day. This was on purpose. Okay, so what does that mean? So 1 week ago, Maricopa County officials squirmed when Carrie Lake's team requested to inspect the Maricopa County ballots from Election Day. Why did they want to inspect them? Well, here's why. So the machines were set up for 20-inch ballots. On Election Day, they printed out 19-inch ballots on 20-inch paper, which they knew would screw up the ballot. The machines. They admitted it in court that they did that. The Maricopa County team was afraid they would get caught intentionally using the wrong size ballots to sabotage Election Day. So let me just read this this is from the Gateway Pundit. And I know, everybody's like, Gateway Pundit's a right wing. No, listen. This is all court-documented evidence and stuff that was said in court. I'm sorry, my mouth ain't working. So listen to this. 17 out of 20, 84% of voting centers with machine problems, 84% were in deep red districts. Now, I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't care if you're Republican. If that would have been the other way around, you would have had the cities burning. You would have had BLM spray painted on every fucking gas station. You'd had Antifa there breaking out windows, hitting people elderly with skateboards, because that's what they do. They're a bunch of fucking terrorists. So one of these people, let me see what her name is here. I got to find it here. Her name is, and I don't have it here. She was one of Arizona Director of Elections, Corey Lorick. Don't look into the background of this gal or the fact that the DHS, the FBI, the DNC, and George Soros poured $12 million into an EIP to attack conservatives online. This lady, she's a national Democratic, some kind of a spokesperson or some bullshit. Let me get to her. Corey Lorick has served as Arizona State Elections Director since July of 2021. She previously worked for the Federal Bureau of Investigation Cyber Division, then went on to receive her JD from Stanford Law School. Prior to working in elections, she served as an Equal Justice Works Fellow in rural Alaska, providing legal aid to individuals experiencing domestic violence, and worked for the Federal Public Defender's Office for the District of Arizona. So this gal has worked for the FBI in the cyber division, right? What news came out in the last week or two with Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter? That the FBI was involved with suppressing conservatives' voices. They were actually paying Twitter to cancel people, like literally, our own FBI. And a liberal that listens to CNN is like, that's a lie. You're spreading misinformation. No. These are factual documents that they have been able to produce that proves all of this. Why is this Lorick, a head of director of elections in Arizona, when she was prior FBI cyber division? So guess what? I seen her on a Zoom court hearing case when they said that they're going to allow them to do a batch test or, you know, whatever they call that. I'll get to that in a second. But her and the guy that works for Hobbs and in Maricopa County and Arizona elections, both of them had body language where they put their arms and their fingers and their hands on their face, and they got real fidgety. Yeah. Well, here's something more about the FBI that maybe you'd like to hear about. So the FBI responds to Elon Twitter fire files. And here's what their official statement is on Twitter. It is unfortunate that conspiracy theorists and others are feeding the American public misinformation with the sole purpose of attempting to discredit the agency. This is the audacity that these literal tyrants have, that they think you're so stupid that they have to come out and make an actual statement, like doubling down on the lie. Now, this is what politicians do on both sides of the aisle. It's becoming more and more apparent each day with the passing of the omnibus spending bill. How many Republican senators jumped on board with the Democrats' ridiculous $1.7 trillion omnibus bill that sends more money to the Ukraine? And you had Zelensky come to the D.C. yesterday and basically saying the $45 billion more that you're going to give me isn't enough. We need more. Meanwhile, his wife was over wherever the hell she was begging for more money. And then she was caught spending 40,000 euros on a shopping spree. And you stupid motherfuckers that are cheering this on and keeping your profiles as I stand with Ukraine are exactly the people they're targeting because you're too fucking dumb to think for yourself. And I'm going to jump across the aisle now and point my finger at some of the Republicans. Those of you that keep on voting for Republican just because the R in front of their name, they're playing you just as hard as the left is playing their base. Just so you know. I sit here day after day after day, like especially now. Like I've been home since Tuesday night. I'll be home till at least I'll probably leave back out on Monday morning. But my routine is I get up sometimes at 5, 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, sometimes 8 or 9, does whatever. Depends when I don't have to work, I just sleep until I get up. And I'm usually up early. That's just the way my body works. But I get out here, and the first thing I do is I sit down and I have a cigarette, and I start reading headline news. I start reading different things that I look at, my news sources. And yes, I do look at what the headlines of CNN or MNNBC, right? Yeah, whatever. ABC. I look at all of it. I want to see what their headlines read because then I like to compare what's in their story, what's in this story, and what's in the story that I look at because I don't look at traditional news stories per se. I observe a lot of popular social media influencers. I have a whole system to my madness, and it works. And I 99% of the time, I end up coming out with the truth eventually. As of late, I have found out that one of the few people that are few organizations that are really reporting the truth, especially about the Arizona elections, is that would be the Gateway Pundit. And everybody's like, well, why are you so like partial to the Gateway Pundit? Because I have dug into some of the stuff that they report on, and I have yet to find any false reporting or any shady reporting or questionable reporting. Like, it all checks out if you dig into it, like every single bit of it. And here's another, I've said this a couple different times on the show. Back when we were planning a nationwide shutdown in the trucking industry, I was a part of a group of people that were pushing it. And well, we had a few that did it, but it wasn't, you know, mildly successful at all. But and I don't think it ever will be, as long as we have, you know, the ATA involved lobbying our Congress and Senate. The ATA, by the way, is the American Trucking Association, and they should be required to change their name because they hate the fucking trucking industry. They're there to ruin our lives. Anyway, but back when we were trying to do that, I was banned off of TikTok. It was right before October of 2021, I believe, is when I went to the Capitol in St. Paul, Minnesota, to stand with our healthcare workers against the forced mandates. And I drove my truck up there. And I was still on TikTok then. But as I was up there doing a live, I got, like, lambasted by these libtard retards. Excuse me for using the word retard. But these people are, they're fucking dense. Anyway, they come after me hardcore. And what happened is TikTok banned my account on TikTok because I was spreading dangerous misinformation that could lead to serious harm and injury. I was doing a live video at the Capitol in St. Paul, Minnesota, while I was shut down with this trucking shutdown, showing live documentation of a rally that included Dr. Scott Jensen fighting for our healthcare workers in the state of Minnesota so they won't lose their jobs for not taking the vaccine that did not have any long-term studies done and still doesn't. And now we're finding out myocarditis, pericarditis, strokes, heart issues. Hell, I had a cousin that just died about a little over a month and a half ago, 36 years old, two shots and a booster, healthy, just killed over dead. They said a heart attack. But my family, of course, they all vote Democrat, and they all watch the liberal news, and they hang on every word that comes out of their mouth. And no offense to them, but I'm deeply sorry for the loss of my cousin, but they refuse to correlate the two. And I know, I feel it deep down in my soul what happened to him. Like, as soon as I heard that, you know, he had a heart attack, I was like, oh, first question I asked, was he vaccinated? And they're like, you got to stop that. That's not what killed him. Oh, okay. Are they going to do an autopsy? Yeah. Well, the autopsy showed blockage. 36 years old? That's kind of funny. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I go through. The people that still refuse to look at what the truth is. I was just on a Twitter space this week with Dr. Robert Malone, Senator Ron Johnson, Laura Logan, numerous people, and a lot of good information came out on that. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of jumping ship, kind of going back. That's what I do. My mind is a jumbled mess, so I kind of just go with what's on my mind. But anyway, all the information that was coming out about the mRNA vaccine side effects and the sudden, what they call the sudden death, a sudden adult death syndrome. Now that's a thing. It's funny when something happens in mass numbers, they come up with this different wording or phrase, or there's a new surprise illness or whatever. They always do this shit. They have throughout history. But one thing that really – I'll get back to the Arizona thing, I promise. And by the way, let me do a little 30-second little break here for a second. Let me catch my breath, gain my thoughts, play a little ad for you. And while I do that, that gives you a chance just to run to the bathroom quick if you need to. And then I'm going to give the guest call-in number. If you want to get come on air and share your thoughts about any of the subjects that I've been talking about, whether it's trucking or vaccines or the Arizona election. You're more than welcome to call in and share your opinion. And I'll share that phone number with you when I come back. That way it gives you a chance to grab a piece of paper and a pen or just go to the bathroom, whatever you need to do, okay? So give me 30 seconds here if you would.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Bolsnot new.
That is Bolsnot. I do use their products. they're phenomenal. I polish my whole truck with an aerosol can of polish. You spray it on, you wipe it off. I use their window cleaner almost on a daily basis, their dash cleaner. They have phenomenal products. I've seen their products in TA Petros, Pilot Flying J's, Hood's Truck Stop down in Boyd Arc, Missouri on I-44 at exit 62. By the way, since we are the Disrespected Trucker radio show, and I know some truckers listen to my show, if you haven't stopped at exit 62 and I-44 at Hood's Truck Stop, I'm going to give them a little plug tonight too, because I stop there whenever I can. Number one, they have full service fuel. What's that mean? You pull in there, they fuel your truck and your reefer or whatever you need up. They do not have DEF at the pumps, but they have it inside in the containers. But what does that mean for you? That means you don't have to, on your ELD, go on duty for 15 or 16 or 17 minutes, however long it takes to fuel you up. You go off duty, and that's part of your half-hour break. And it doesn't take time away from your 70 because you are not pumping your fuel up. You are actually sitting inside having a cup of coffee waiting for them to fuel your truck up. And then when you come out, you go, I was getting fuel, and this is how many gallons, and this is how much it cost me. And then, well, you got to be on duty. No, I didn't do it, though. So then you just put on there under the comments that, yeah, it was full-service fuel. But anyway, if you want to call in tonight and you want to share your opinion, your thoughts, I am the only one on the air tonight, so I'll give you all the airtime you want. That phone number, it's 516-387-1733. And when you call in and you finally get through, make sure you press the number one. That lets me know on my switchboard that you want to get, you have something to say, you want to get on air and talk. So that phone number again is 516-387-1733. Just press the number one. That'll let me know you want to get on air and say what you want to say. We're live. We're uncensored. You can say whatever you want to say. You don't have to agree with me. As long as you're not being a dick, I'll let you say whatever you want to say. I don't have to agree with you either, but I won't be a dick to you. But anyway, so let's get back to the Arizona stuff. I know we're kind of talking about the vaccines and the Twitter space I was on and all that stuff. But so in the article I'm reading in the Gateway Pundit, the malfunctions occurred in 64 total highly partisan locations, considered overwhelmingly heavy R or heavy D areas. 59 out of 64, 93.7%, were heavy R areas. These ballots all jammed the tabulators on election day in Maricopa County. The ballots were all printed at Runbeck Company, a printing corporation run by a very liberal Arizona family that strictly donates to Democrat candidates and causes. The flawed ballots were handed out on election day when officials knew Republicans would come out in full force. Now, if you remember, if you've been paying attention, and if you haven't, I'll fill you in. The Republicans and Kerry Lake in Arizona have been saying since 2020, do not mail in your ballot. Do not put your ballot in a drop box. Do not put your ballot in box number three. You go in person, and you vote in person, and we will flood these poll stations with voters on voting day so they can't cheat. So it looks like to me, now this is just my opinion, that the Democrat Party in Arizona knew that that was what was going to happen. So they figured out a way how to stop that mass influx of Republicans coming in on voting day. And I'm going to get to some numbers that I've got that you're going to be like, holy shit, yeah, this is obvious. But they figured out that if we print a 19-inch ballot on a 20-inch, or a 19-inch ballot on a 20-inch paper and try to insert it in the machine, it's gonna fuck the whole system up. And that's exactly what it did. Rather than giving them the 20-inch ballot, they printed a 19-inch ballot on a 20-inch form and tried to run it through. So, and not to mention the chain of custody, like 293,000 votes do not have a proper chain of custody, which means they move the ballots from one location to the next. They don't have any documentation of who handled the, you know, all of that. There's a lot of discrepancies going on, and it's being, you know, court documented. I mean, so this is good. This is good for our constitutional republic in the fact that this is all being documented. Now, they can't lie about this. So, well, that never happened. Well, you have direct testimony from people in a court hearing from both sides that prove that this did happen. What the judge, where it goes from here, it's going to be very interesting to watch. I'll just say it that way. So here's the numbers I was talking about in voting in person. 72% of voters on election day were voting Republican. Only 17% of the voters that day were voting Democrat. 17 to 72%. And what was the number for their percentage that all of this, most of the fraud happened in deep red, you know what I'm trying to say. God, I feel like Joe Biden right now. Good Lord, I can't even get a damn sentence up. Districts, I'm sorry, deep red districts, 84% of the fraud happened, the discrepancies, I should call it, happened in deep red districts. So here's the numbers. Percentage of returns by party, by hour, okay? So all day, 52.7% showed up of Republicans and 16.6% of Democrats. So here's hour by hour. From 6 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., 58.3% Republican voters showed up in person, only 14% Democrat. From 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m., 56% Republican, 15% Democrat. 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., 50% Republican, 14% Democrat. Basically, it's 50% versus roughly on an average of 15% through most of the day. And then the Democrats had a little bit higher percentage rate showing up in person than the rest of the day, starting at about 12 noonish, about the time they get out of bed, 16% up to 22% between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. Meanwhile, Republicans had very high numbers in the early morning hours, 58, 56, 57, 57, 58, 52, 52, 50, and then their lower numbers started dropping 3 to 4 p.m., 4 to 5, and 5 to 6. 48, 46, 44% compared to the 17, 20, 22% Democrats voting in person, by the way. So on Thursday, Scott Jarrett, the Maricopa County Elections Director, admitted the printer settings were switched on Election Day to alter the ballot size. He admitted that in court. I mean, it doesn't get any more blatant than this, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, they literally just admitted the setup. So Kerry Lake's attorney, Kurt Olson, is it your testimony that the printer set changings that led to the so-called shrink-to-fit issue, was that done on Election Day? Maricopa County Elections Director Scott Jarrett responded, that's correct. So based off the numbers I just read to you, of people voting in person, which was mainly about 55 to 57% Republican voters voting in person, compared to 12 to 16 to 17% of Democrats voting in person. 55% of Republicans, okay? Now correlate that with 84% of the problems that they had were in deep red districts, 84%. Why not 100%? Because you do it 100%, guess what? You can't cheat. It would be very blatant then. I mean, it's blatant enough now with 84%, but if you did it in 100% red districts and none in the blue, it would be like, oh, yeah, okay. But the fact that it happened in red 84% of the time when you had all those red voters voting in person on that day, I mean, it's pretty obvious in my book, and then they're admitting it in court. I don't know. I'm going to bring Daryl on. Daryl's on here. Okay, Daryl, you're on air. Welcome to the show, brother. I know you had to unload, and how's it going tonight, man?
Man, tired. It's cold out. It was very cold. It was good here in Cowles, though, but, man, I just all week for the past since last Wednesday, I've been battling snow and cold. So yeah, I'm about to go here to the truck stop, but, yeah, I'm good. I'm alive, and I'm happy to be here.
Good. I'm glad you're here. We're not going to be on air much longer tonight. I'm just going to go over a few things, but since you're on, me and Chris kind of talked about that at the beginning of the show about the trucking industry, and then I kind of went off for about a half-hour rant like I do. You know, Daryl, everybody, for those of you listening, actually ran for lieutenant governor in the good state of Colorado. He's got a lot of political connections because of that, and in the upcoming weeks, I've been getting phone calls from different people. I have one gentleman, and I won't mention his name quite yet, but he is a truck driver, and he is running for the United States presidency next time around. And I'm going to talk to him on Monday, personally, privately, and we're going to decide where we're going to go with that interview, possibly next Thursday night. Daryl is a welcome voice on the Disrespected Trucker Show, radio show, because, and I'm going to kind of break it down for you. Daryl ran for lieutenant governor in Colorado, number one. Number two, Daryl's a truck driver. Number three, Daryl used to be a police officer and is a service member. So that's three and four, actually. Number five, Daryl's a black man, so he brings us that that viewpoint. It's not about the color of his skin, but it's the fact that, you know, there's a lot of things that Daryl can say that I cannot say just because of the color of our skin and the political climate in this country. And Daryl can get away with saying some things that we both agree with that I want to say, but I can't say because, well, I'm a white guy and I'm a white truck driver. And it would be borderline inappropriate for me to say as a white man. But again, Daryl's a black man. He's able to say certain things that I can't. And we sure appreciate that perspective. And that, I don't know, the fact that he's able to do that. So it gets out a broader message a lot louder. So then Daryl has conservative views, but he's, like I said, he's a very welcome voice on this show, and we sure appreciate him. And we've had some really great shows, you know, before we had Daryl, and really great shows since we've added Daryl and Kim. And we look forward to bringing you more controversial topics basically the truth. But we're going to tell you stuff that you're not prepared to hear yet. And it might be too much for you. If it is, don't feel bad shutting us off and saying, you know what, I'll have to come back and re-listen later when I just, like, digest what you just told me. And, you know, a lot of the stuff having to do with being programmed and brainwashed with the vaccines and programmed and brainwashed in believing that you've been getting fair elections all of these years. although the Democrats have been stealing it all. Well, no, I got news for you. The Republicans have been doing their fair share of stealing too. It's called the establishment, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to sit here and hang on Donald Trump's nuts, and I ain't going to do that. But Donald Trump did tell you a little bit of the truth. He said there's a shadow government, deep state. There is a deep state. It's very obvious now. And they are running a psyop on all of us, on both Republicans, Democrats. I don't care who you are. It's happening. Before I continue with that, let me just ask Daryl his opinion on that. What do you think about the fact that there is a deep state, Daryl? Do you agree that there's a deep state? And secondly, tell me your opinion on why you think the way you do, if there is or if there isn't.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's start with the last question first. The way I think the way I do. The reason I'm like this, because number one, you know, I'm not afraid to speak the truth. I used to be kind of want to kind of just go with the flow and not interrupt anything, but then I noticed there's no change and I'm not happy. And I'm a lot like my grandmother. My grandmother, she doesn't take any BS. She'll tell it to you like it is, and that's just the way it is. And if you don't like it, oh well. My grandmother, she carried a 38 special in her purse until she was past 80 years old. Tells you a little bit how tough my grandmother is. My grandmother had 23 kids, 23. All, really, she had 25. Two sets of twins died. So there's other stories I could tell you about my grandmother. That just tells you how tough she is. And my mom always says I'm just like her because my mom always raised me, you know what, you speak up for the smaller person, or you always take up for that person that needs help, you know, and you always be a gentleman. Do not be afraid to stand up for what you believe in. And so with what's going on today, I look at it and there's a lot of things that are wrong. And because people do not want to say anything, or they're afraid that they're going to get repercussions, or they're afraid their friends are going to say something, or they're afraid that their race is going to say something. Me, I'm just going to say it like this, folks. I don't give a shit. I am 58 years old. I don't have time to be doing this blanket party, tap you on the back, say everything is all right here, have a blanket, go in the corner, and everything's okay. Here's your quiet place. I was raised where you get up, you go to work. Like this vaccine BS. You know what? I understand some of y'all need it. That's fine. Whatever. I'm not going to sit back and say I'm an anti-vaxxer. I'm not going to say, you know what, you're wrong for doing it. You have a choice. But the thing I don't like is when the government lies to you, and then instead of you taking your research or asking the question, like when you go to the doctor's office, say, hey, can I see the ingredients on that vial? And if they look at you and say, we don't have anything, there's nothing on it, that should be a warning flag. Stuff like that. And that's why I'm glad to be here on the Disrespected Trucker Show, is because I'm not afraid to go ahead and say things. And, yes, there are some things I can say. Just like, you know, the way I describe vaccine water and all them. And I'm just going to say it. I call them house slaves. If I was out in the street, I call them house niggas. And this is the reason why. For all you folks, before we got some you yahoos that's going to take this to the extreme, for your information, house slaves. Back in the day, when there were slaves, you had the ones in the house, you had the ones in the field. When the master has gone away, who watches over the slave? It is the house slave. The house slave does punishment. Slaves then report to the master when he gets back. That's just like now. Let's look at the Democratic Party. Matter of fact, let's look at both sides of the aisle, because I'm not going to just separate it. You know what? We have people that sit back and they look at it. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer can say all these crazy things. Joe Biden, that man has said some crazy stuff against black folks and ethnic people, but do they call him out? No, they won't. But Trump, don't call Trump out and call him a racist and everything, even though he sits back and granted, maybe there's some people he hangs with that is a little shady, but you know what? That man is not prejudiced. There is times even on an interview when they're showing him, a black lady came up and introduced herself. He ended up doing an interview with her on air and told his people, you know what, have her in office on Monday because she's hired. How many people will do that? None. So don't give me this crap about Donald Trump is prejudiced when you have Biden, who is, I'm just going to say it, a bigot. But see, again, I'm not afraid to say these things because you look, there's a lot of things I can come up with. But it's time for us to start standing up. And that's the way I feel about a lot of things. Now, as for the deep state, people, let me tell y'all something. You look at what's going on today. Look at all the corruption. Look at all the cheating. And when you notice all the corruption and the cheating, guess what? Does anyone get into any trouble? Has anyone been called for any responsibility for anything? No. But you look at Donald Trump, they're constantly going after him. Why? Because he loves the United States. He may say some crazy things. He may tweet when he shouldn't. But that man loves the United States of America. His policies were on point, but yet they're still coming after him. What about Joe Biden and his crazy son? What about Maxine Waters? What about EOC, or what do you want to call her, crazy butt, dealing with BLM? What about
insider trading?
Exactly. What about Kamala Ding Dong Harris? When she's up there inciting, helping to incite riots, because people, that, let's just put it like this. They incited riots. And when they sit back and say, well, we're going to go ahead and pay you to get out of jail, and then you have George Soros, a white man, telling these folks, here, I'm going to give you the money, have them go riot, have them go do this and that, and no one stands up and say, wait a minute, we're destroying our own neighborhoods. We're destroying our own businesses. We're looking like animals. And not one black person stands up and says, we're not doing this anymore? Again, house slaves, because they don't want to go ahead and upset their white predecessor. They don't want to upset Biden. They don't want to upset George Soros. They want, and the if you look at the things that are going on, all these rich people, that are filthy, filthy rich, and nothing against rich people, because someday I like to be rich, but, man, they are perverted as hell. Look at Epstein. And then you have California turning around saying that they want to go ahead and legalize adults being with little kids. People, we've got to wake up, quit looking at our racial, our skin color, because the more we do that, the more we're going to be at each other's back. And the more the government is going to take away from us, till one day you will wake up and you will have nothing. And you will sit back and say, what the hell happened?
But it's not even, Daryl, it's not just white versus black. It's black versus Hispanic. It's black versus Chinese. It's white versus Hispanic. It's every racial group mixed in against everybody. They're pitting everybody against everybody. And then they add to it with, oh, you vote a Republican, oh, you're a loser, oh, you're a fascist, or whatever they, you know, the far left liberals call it, and then, you know, the conservatives, oh, you're a communist leftist. Listen, I know for a fact right now that we have a Democrat listening to our program right now. He's a friend of mine, a good friend
right.
of mine, and he's a great guy. He always. I mean, he comments on a lot of my tweets, but he's never a dick. He brings to my attention, because sometimes I veer off of the fact of that the Republican Party are not angels either. A lot of my tweets are directed at leftist liberals, not necessarily Democrat voters, because there's a lot of Democrat voters that are in different areas of the country that are ruled by the Republican Party that are just as fucking corrupt as the Democratic Party, that go after, you know, playing guys like the guy that's listening. Because the only reason I know that he's listening is because he's on my switchboard. So I stood side by side with this guy, and I've talked to him on the phone numerous times. He's a really good guy. But I want people to understand that the point I'm trying to make is that this isn't just a Democrat problem or a Republican problem. You go back to the omnibus spending bill. The shit that they got in that spending bill, that was, what, 4,600 pages or something like that, was They brought it at that 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning and then voted on it that following morning? Like, you really want me to expect me to believe that you're running the government in a fair and proper manner under the laws of the Constitution when you're handing a 4,600-page $1.6 trillion spending bill, in which case they're giving the LGBTQ plus hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars to do this and do that and do there was, I can't remember what the exact number was, but like, I don't know, $400 billion to secure borders in other countries, but not our own. And yet the Republican leadership has the audacity to stand up and say, our borders are out of control, and it's all because of Joe Biden. But hold on a second, I need a pen so I can sign on this omnibus spending bill that doesn't have any money included in it to protect your own borders. They're just as big a fucking hypocrites as the Democrats are in Washington, D.C. And if you don't like that opinion, it's not even an opinion, it's a fact. But if you don't like that and you don't refuse to see the truth, I don't care. I don't give a fuck if you don't ever listen to the show ever again. It's that's your business. But I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to share what I think about it. But what are your thoughts, Daryl?
Okay, and see, all right, just like, all right, government does not make wealth. People make wealth. The party does not make the person. These people make the party. Unfortunately, we have, don't get me wrong, people, we have good people that are in all these parties. We have very good people. But unfortunately, we have a lot of them that has been there that are career politicians, which they should not be career politicians because the government was not set up for that, that we have all this corruption on both sides of the aisle. And I do believe, folks, we need to start voting for independents. For people who are not in the Republican Party or people who are not in the Democratic Party. We need to start, let's put it like this, folks. You need to start voting for people who work hard for a living, that will sit back and tell you exactly what is going on, that is not afraid to stand up to the woke mob, that is not afraid to stand up for people who are against the flag, that are not afraid to stand up and call people out in Congress or people out in our House or even the president and his vice president and call them out. Because you are right.
Basically,
you know what?
Basically what you're saying is you need to start voting for the Daryl Gibbs and the Jeremy Johnsons of society, the ones that don't give a fuck what everybody else's opinion is, and the same ones that won't sell you out to big corporations just so you get another couple ads on CNN or Fox News. Those are the guys you want to vote for.
Yeah, because just like, and I will put this, when I was running for lieutenant governor, I told everybody exactly what I was going to do. Just like Danielle, she did the same thing. There wasn't no hiding. Even when I go on live on Facebook Live, and everything that I say, do me a favor, save it, share it, and then later on when I start running for office again, I'm going to go back. You're going to say, wait a minute, he did say this. Wait a minute, it's been a couple of years. He did say this. I don't turn around and say, well, I'm going to change my mind because I want to sell out and get money. No, you know what? I'm an American. I am not a black American. I am an American. I am proud of the United States of America. I will salute this flag, and I will die for this flag any damn time. And I will. And we have a lot of great people, black, white, Indian, Asian. The list goes on. For people who stood up for this nation, for the way that it is, for now we're beginning to slowly see it crumble a little bit because we have people in power that does not like the United States, that they're in power for themselves and they're for them the money and not for we the people. We got to start voting for people, for we the people, people who want to fight for United States and put the United States first. I'm not saying don't help anyone else, but look at all the money. Look at where all this money is going. Like you said, Ukraine, why are we sending billions of dollars to Ukraine when we have people who are homeless and we have a border that's about to be opened? And thank God this judge decided to go ahead and say, you know what, we're going to suspend this for right now. How come we're not enforcing our borders? why is it here in Colorado, and I'm going to make an example of this, that we have the mayor of Denver and also our governor, Polis, and everybody else who's so scared and weak that they want to go ahead and bring in all these people, which we don't have enough room in Denver, but yet we have citizens who are homeless, military, who are homeless, and they don't want to lift a finger for them, but then they want to take $800,000 out of the general budget to go ahead and take care of people who have not come here legally. What kind of crap is that? It seemed like this administration.
You brought up a point earlier, Daryl. We were having the same discussion that you're talking. That I said, make sure you say that on the radio show. It got me thinking, though. You know how people look down on people that are on welfare. Now,
right.
I want to explain something. Welfare was a system that was created to help those that had unforeseen circumstances happen to them in order for them to get public assistance until they got back on their feet. It was never meant to be a life choice. It was never meant for you to go out and have seven baby daddies just so you can stay on welfare so you don't have to work because you're lazy. It was meant to help you out of the hole that you unfortunately were put in. And I have never been against anybody that had to use food stamps or welfare. The problem I see with welfare now is that they have made a system of welfare that was made with good intentions, in my opinion, and now they have used it for migration, whatever you want to call it. I asked a certain member of my community in Minnesota, in a small town here in Minnesota, 12,000-15,000 people. I said, if I today needed to get on welfare, what would I have to do? She goes, you couldn't. I said, why is that? She said, because they are putting all of, and nothing against where they're from, but at this time, they were putting all the Somalian immigrants, they were putting them into our community, and some Hispanic immigrants. And they were using up basically the whole budget for what they had allowed for welfare in this county, which told me, or she basically told me that, yeah, we know you've lived here since 1980, since I was 3 years old, and we know you've lived here your whole life. We know you've contributed to this community, but if you ever become across hard times, you would not have any county or government assistance in your county because there is none left for you. It's all going to immigrants that have come here. And I have thought about that for the last however many years it's been, and I thought, we have a broken system when Americans put last and immigrants are pushed to the front. Now, I'm not against helping people that are trying to better their lives. I surely am not. However, because they are needing to improve their lives and I fall on hard times, I'm not allowed any of that assistance now because you gave it all away to a non-American citizen. After I've been paying into the system for 30 plus years, that's not okay with me. And I'm just going to say that's not okay with me. I'll leave it at that because I could say some things now that could incriminate me, so I'm just not going to say that. but that's what it made me think of, Daryl, when you were talking about the current situation in Denver when we have homeless vets that are getting kicked out of homeless shelters because, well, we have all these immigrants, these migrants. They call them migrants. They're still illegal immigrants coming up through the border. Let's call it what it is. Let's quit pussyfooting around and quit trying to make a nice term and then call it racism or anti-Semitism or some bullshit term that the fucking politicians make up to make you feel bad for saying the truth. Well, I don't give a fuck. On this show, we're going to say the truth. They are illegal immigrants, and they are pushing out legal veterans, homeless veterans, that our government and our tax dollars are refusing to help because they're too busy having a fucking powwow at Washington, D.C., hanging the Ukrainian flag with Zelensky up there saying, hey, we're going to give you another $45 billion, and then Zelensky turning around and saying, that's not enough. Meanwhile, his wife was caught having a shopping spree in Europe with a 40,000 euro shopping spree. And you have the audacity to sit up there on live TV with a fucking Ukrainian flag, waving it like you're some kind of fucking patriots, and that little cocksucker Adam Kinzinger gets on his Twitter and criticizes Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz for not standing and clapping for what he called a present-day hero in Zelensky. You guys are laundering money right in front of our fucking face, and you want to criticize the two people that have the balls enough not to stand up and cheer that on? Well, fuck you, Adam Kinzinger. Fuck all of you corrupt, crooked motherfuckers in Washington, D.C. Okay, Daryl, the floor is yours.
Okay. My turn.
Yeah, right. Follow that up.
Now,
you know, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. Okay, now, let's go back to when you're talking about, AKA welfare. All right, welfare was brought into our assistance in 1965, and basically, you know, it was there to go ahead and destroy black families. It was there to get the black men out of the system and make them feel like they're not worth anything. Because a man, we are built to work. We are built to do things. We are built to protect. You take that away from us, then we're kind of like, what? Because God intended us to be like that. And so if you look at the welfare system, let me calm down. Let me calm down. If you look at the welfare system, you're right. You know what? It's supposed to be set up where, again, you're supposed to be there, and it gives you a helping hand. I was on welfare at one time because I had surgery and I could not drive my truck. I was on welfare, and then I took it, and then I decided it was time for me to go back to work. They looked at me and said, well, you got 6 more months. I'm like, I'm going to work. I don't need it. So with that in mind, the system broken? The system is shattered. And the thing is, no one does anything about it, and it's getting worse. We know that is supposed to be there for citizens. It's supposed to be there for us who put money into the system, for us to work. If something happens, you're there to help us to get back on our feet so we can get off of it so someone else can use it that needs it. Not for people like you said, and I already know somebody said some stupid, what he just said was racist. No, it wasn't. That these women are having all these kids because they could go, because the government says each kid you get will give you a check for so long. You know what? We need to revamp it. We need to sit back and look at it and say, you can have 2 kids. After that, you're on your own. And it's time for people to be responsible. Now, when we come to, they're illegal immigrants. Why is it that this administration and then all these people up in Congress, that they feel that they have to go ahead and bring in all these other people, but yet we already have immigrants here who wants to be United States citizens, and they're in line. How come we're not taking care of them? So how come we're not taking care of our American people? How come we're not taking care of our servicemen? How come we're not taking care of the immigrants who wants to come here legally that has done the process, but yet we want to go ahead and give our money to people who they just let in, and then we supposed to be fine with that? No, we're not supposed to be fine with that. And here's the problem, people, and I'm going to tell you again. Look at what's going on. There is no, let me repeat myself, there is no one being held responsible for all this corruption that's going on. If I was lieutenant governor or governor, if I was even vice president or president, I will tell you this, feet will be under the fire and people will be getting fired and we will be revamping the system. Now, will it hurt some people? Yes. Why? Because it's just like a cancer in the body. This is a cancer. The only way you're going to cure cancer is you're going to have to go in and operate. Will it be sore and will it hurt? Yes. But at the end, it will heal.
We will survive.
and things, there you go. And that's how we have to do it. People, listen
to me. If we don't have surgery on that cancer in the very, very near future, ladies and gentlemen, that cancer is going to continue to eat us, and we will perish as a nation from the cancer from within. That is a fact. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And here's a funny little story I came across, Daryl, while we're talking about cancers. Did you know that Democrats in Albany, New York, voted for themselves to get a 29% pay raise, making them the highest paid state legislators in the U.S.? Those are the same legislators that voted to taking your constitutional rights away, forcing you to wear masks, and force vaccine mandates, and making you stay home like you were Nazi fucking Germany if you didn't comply, and making you feel bad if you didn't comply. Those are the same kind of people that just voted a 29% pay raise for themselves. And you continuously vote these dumb motherfuckers into office.
Thank you.
And then you look at guys like me and say, well, you're a lot vulgar. You know what? I am vulgar. You know why I'm vulgar? Because I'm fucking sick and tired of sitting and watching you dumb, mindless motherfuckers run around and, oh, you're a Republican. Oh, you're a Democrat. You're a... No. You know what I am? I'm a fucking American. And I'm tired of watching our country getting eaten by the corruption and the cancer from within, while all of you mindless twits fight over it over social media and don't do a goddamn thing about it. You know what I've done? I've stood up. I have gone to state capitals. I have tried to fight. You know who joins me? American patriots. Some cases a couple hundred, some cases thousands, most cases 10. Because none of you have enough fucking balls enough to stand up against the corruptness. You just sit there and take it. You forget that you live in a free country that is protected by a goddamn constitution, and you refuse to fucking acknowledge that. Yes, I'm a little mad. There.
You know.
Now, do I sound like Steve Bannon? Do I sound like Alex Jones when he goes off? Yeah, because we're all fucking frustrated because you refuse to look at the truth. God dang, it's right in front of your face.
You know what? Man, you got dude, you should, if you would see me now, I'm jumping in my truck. People are looking at me like this Negro's gone nuts. But you know what? You're right. Because we sit up here with people, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, you're independent. Why do you people, and I'm talking about you voters, why do you continue to put these idiotic people in power? And I'm going to go back to Colorado. Yes, because why? We just put a governor who does not give a damn about Colorado, and you guys put him in. Why? Because he gave you a free check? I'm sorry, the check wasn't free. It was from Tabor. Tabor states you have to give surplus back to the people. So people start, it just irritates the daylights out of me that people are so damn blind to what's going on.
I gotta take like a 3-minute break here, but I want you to listen to the words that I'm gonna play here, okay? I just bought this dog and they wrote a song about it for me. Just hold on a second here.
All right.
I think my dog's a Democrat, and it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact my dog might be a Democrat.
that is funny.
I had to go off of my rant. I had to use the cuss words about a million times. You know what? Okay, take a deep breath. Come on, Jeremy, you can do this. Take a deep breath. Let's lighten it up just a little bit. We're going into the Christmas holiday season, and we talk politics for 50. I don't know how many weeks do we have? 52. Weeks a year? I don't remember.
Yeah, 52.
Yeah. So basically we talk politics and current events at least 50 weeks a year because we take Thanksgiving off. And this year we had to take like 3 weeks off in a row because we had really bad scheduling. But so okay, let's put the number at 47. And, well, 48. Well, no, it's going to be 51-50 because even though it's Christmas time coming up, we're still talking politics and we're getting all freaky, and or I am anyway, and we're getting worked up. Let's, on a lighter note, to finish out the show, let me just ask you this, Daryl, as a truck driver, because we're going to go back to this. We started the show with this. How's your week been running out there in the cold?
Ooh.
And what happened to you this week as a truck driver?
All right, well, this week running out in the cold sucked. It's, you know, you got your schedule, you got to try to keep your schedule. You know, we kind of live in the gray where we got to, where you got to kind of, you got to know your truck. You got to know your abilities to be out there in this weather. Now, I'm going to say this, and a lot of people agree with me. Some of y'all don't, you're going to get pissed, and I don't give a shit. Ever since they put in automatics, they've been putting people behind the wheel that should not be driving a truck. They can't even keep it between the damn lines. I'm sorry, but a lot of you foreigners, I'm sorry, you guys suck. A lot of people from the Middle East, you can't drive a truck to save your fucking lives. You know, and I'm not being racist, I'm not being prejudiced. I'm just stating what I see. And you guys need to understand our customs and how the trucking industry goes, because these driving schools, they didn't teach you shit. And you need, some of y'all need to just pay attention to what you're doing to quit the damn And then
that's what Daryl okay, that's also, what Daryl just said to this truck radio show.
Well, and then what happened
I'm kidding,
to me?
Man.
You know, oh, I don't. Man, I like it when you kid with me. But you know what happened to me? We're gonna go fast forward here. But what happened to me was this: I was at a truck stop, and I'm not gonna say where. I was at a truck stop in Oregon. And so I just got through coming over Donner and over to Twin, and I'm tired. And so I pull in. This truck, and it's crowded. They shut down the highway, so there's trucks all over the place. I go in and I park next to a couple other people sitting there. So I decided I'm going to take a nap, go to sleep. I get up, and God says, no, you're going to go sleep a little more. Okay, I go to sleep a little bit, wake up. I'm fixing my I'm all dressed, getting ready to go get my shower. I'm fixing up my sleeper. All of a sudden, I hear boom, and my truck rocks. And all of a sudden, I seen this container go by. I jumped out of my truck and went running after this person and say, you hit my damn truck. And the person's like, I didn't hit your truck. And I'm like, excuse me? Big black man looking at you, cold outside with no jacket on, you hit my truck. I'm watching you. And then I show him the spray pattern, and, you know, he messed the back end of my truck. He hit it so hard that the people that was next to me and the people that was on the other side of the other truck woke up and heard it and saw me running after this guy. Now, my thing is this. I know he felt it. I know that he got some kind of a jar or something. And it would have been nice if he would have just stopped right there on the spot, looked into the truck and say, hey, sorry, I hit your truck. I messed up. But it's just the point being that I had to get out and run after him. And I have a funny feeling, I hate to be like this, this is the thing that sucks and pisses me off, is that if I wasn't in the truck, I would have came out and I would have saw that damage to the truck, and then I would have had to take care of it. Pisses me off because a lot of these drivers, like Swift, J.B. Hunt, and some other ones, they hire these people to drive their trucks, they hit their trucks, and then they try to take off. Me personally, I think you should be arrested. Your CDL should be taken away, and along with some other things, because that's bullshit. So, but thank God I was in the truck. Thank God I had another guy come out and say, you know what, I didn't see it, but I heard it. Here is my name. Here is my phone number. If you need me, talk to me. People, you're going to drive a truck. Accidents are going to happen. Do me a favor. Be man enough to go ahead and say, look, I messed up. Here's my insurance. Because if you don't have insurance or you don't have a driver's license to be driving a truck, then do me a favor. Don't be driving it because you're giving us a bad freaking name. I can go further, but I'm going to leave it at that.
No, you hit the nail right on the head, dude. It's called integrity. And it's not just in the trucking industry. It's with human mankind all the way around. Nobody has integrity anymore. You know why? Nobody wants to take responsibility for their actions, even though they know that they did something wrong. Man up and say, you know what? If there was no damage done, but there mental damage or emotional damage or whatever you want to call it, say, hey, listen, man, I've been having a bad day, and I'm really sorry I said those things that hurt your feelings.
Thank you.
Or I'm sorry I raised my voice at you. Or I'm sorry I did this that made you feel uncomfortable. You know, just man up when you do something that's wrong. Like, it takes me – I think about stuff like that all the time. My head's always going. My head is – I'm a crazy man. My head is always moving. But there's I have random thoughts of – you know, of how I treated a person at a truck stop 3 weeks ago. I'll be like, man, that was really fucked up that I acted like that. And then I think to myself, how would I have reacted if somebody would have acted like that toward me? I wouldn't have liked it.
Yep.
So why do I feel that I'm entitled to treat somebody like that if I wouldn't like it if they treated me the same way? That's how we become better people. You know, you have to remember the things and how your interactions with everyday life, whether how you treat the waitress, how you treat the police officer that pulls you over after you did something wrong, by the way. You just pulled me over because I got a cool car, or you're pulling me over because I'm black, or you're pulling me over because of this and that. No, and I pulled you over because you're fucking speeding, dipshit. They'll take responsibility for it. See, you know what? When the police officer walks up and says, hey, I got you clocked at doing 60 at 40, what's going on? Oh, I guess it wasn't paying attention. Oh, that's not a good enough excuse. Now, if you tell the cop, I'm not going to lie to you, sir, and be honest, if I don't get home in the next 30 seconds, I'm going to shit my pants. You know, just be honest. But don't use it as an excuse to get out of a ticket. Take responsibility.
Yep.
If you're driving 60 and a 40, you're fucking speeding. You're going way too fast. Now, listen, I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite because do I speed? Yes. And I'll tell you how I speed. I set my cruise for 5 miles an hour over any posted speed limit unless it's in town. Then I try to go right close to the speed limit, maybe 30. You know, if it's 30, I'll go 32, 33, just a little bit over. I don't know why I do it. I just do. But I don't ever go like 45. And on the highway, if it's 55, I never go like 70, unless I'm like trying to get around somebody quickly. But normally 99.9% of the time, even in my semi, I set my cruise at 5 miles an hour over the speed limit in every single state I travel through. And guess what? I haven't had a speeding ticket in over 8 years, going on 9 years. So if you follow the law within reason, the police are not going to mess with you. I mean, when the speed limit says 70, that's what it means? Yes, you should go 70. Not 90, not, you know, 79, you should go 70. I set my cruise at 75, I'll admit it. I'm not a liar. I'm not a hypocrite. Yes, I do. I break the law, whatever. But I have found in 8 years, as a truck driver, you know this too, Daryl. You could set your cruise at 75 and a 70, and cars are still flying by you like you're standing fucking still. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And, I ain't going to lie. I max my motor at times. I do run.
Yeah, they just went by. I think we're in England. Here they come again, Daryl.
My logbook is good, sir. My logbook is good. Hey, you know, on the responsibility part, I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna make this short. And if somebody gets pissed off, I don't give a shit. All right, This deals with the LBG, MOUSC, plus, and all this other crap. All right, there's a friend of mine. He talks almost like I do, but he's gay. And you know what? I respect him. He respects me. Here's the problem I have with a lot of the LGBT community. You know, no one's taking any responsibility for dumb stuff. You know, like, for instance, and I'm going to say this. There's a lot of people in the LGBT community, they do not agree with what, like, for instance, what they're teaching in our kids, the indoctrination of our kids. A lot of them don't believe in that. But yet, do you see anybody from the LGBT standing up and saying that? Which I know it's hard to do. It is. But someone has
actually,
to do it.
Actually, there is. A conservative aunt. You've heard of conservative aunt? And the gays against groomers? Yes. There are groups out there that are actually doing it.
Nice.
The mainstream media will not cover them, number one. And number two, big tech bans them off their platform for hateful rhetoric, they call it. When they are exposing the drag, we'll get into that in a whole other show, brother. But go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I'm glad you interrupted because I didn't know that. Dude, we got to have them on the show. You know what, people? I want y'all to understand this. On this show, we're just telling you the truth. This is how I feel. If I'm wrong about something, if Jeremy is wrong about something, like he said, tell us. You show us facts that we're wrong, I will apologize. I have no problem with that because, you know what, I'm human. I got emotions just like he does, just like all of you guys does. But at the same time, though, I am not going to bullshit. I am not going to sit there, hold your hand, and say it's okay. One person, I'm going to say the grass is green. The other person, say the grass is blue. I'm just going to tell it to you like it is and how I see it. You know? And that's one thing I love about this. That's one thing I love about this show because we get to do that. And there's one thing where we get to, people, please, call in. Talk to us. We want you to. You don't have to say your name. We want to hear what you have to say, even if you think the opposite of us. I like to hear it because that's how we make America better, because we have to start talking to each other, because if not, all these politicians are going to take away our rights and we will have nothing. And I'm getting sick and tired of these people doing this. That's why I am standing up and fighting along with Jeremy. I love what I do, driving the truck, but at the same time, I'm in the political arena because I care. It's not for money. It's because I care about the United States. I care about Colorado, and I care about its people. And I want people to be treated fairly, and I want our kids to get a damn good education.
Yeah, no, that's all it is, man. We're not here. Seriously, I don't want to be here to bash on a Democrat or a liberal, even though the far left liberals, the far left ones, I'm talking about the extremists, the Antifa,
yeah,
the BLMs,
those wussies,
the Marxists, basically is what they are. I am,
yeah,
way, way, way far away from any view that they hold. And that's a lot of the views that they hold are views that they have been programmed to believe in. Now,
mm-hmm,
you get to the far right. You have the far right that hate Hispanics. They hate black people. They hate this and they hate that. They hate,
mm-hmm,
you know, they have a lot of hate also. I don't want to be associated with,
yeah,
them either. I'm more on the conservative middle. What I consider myself is a constitutional independent. Now, I have a lot of friends in different areas of politics. Since I met Daryl, Daryl's more in that line of my thinking also. But there's a gentleman out of Minnesota that is heavily involved in creating a new party in Minnesota, and I'm not going to try to butcher the word of what that it's. It has something to do with the Constitutional Party. I'm going to get him on. I'll call him. I got his phone number. I'm going to call him, and I'd like to get him on also one night to explain what this new Constitutional Party is. I stood with him at the St. Paul Capitol. With him and Jesse Ventura and a transgender, basically a what the hell party was it, the marijuana free or legalized marijuana now party or something.
Mm-hmm.
She was from a smaller town here in southwest Minnesota. She unfortunately, or he, or I don't like that, how I have to. She identified as a woman, or he identified as a woman, so I'm going to call her a she, out of respect, because she is dead. She died of a heart attack.
Okay.
I believe a heart issue. I believe. I might be wrong, but I did meet her briefly. And my experience is when she got up to the podium to speak, she's like, I'm glad I'm here, and I just want – and I'm like, as soon as she started speaking, I'm like, what the fuck is going on over here? Because, I mean, it caught me off guard. Like, I don't care what you identify. She was not rude. She was not pushy about her beliefs. She was just speaking her mind on the state of affairs of politics in Minnesota. And for that
– right.
I did do a show after the week after I found out about her passing or his passing or whatever. I felt like an asshole because I kind of made fun of that a little bit like 2 weeks prior to that. And then it was 2 weeks after we were there, she passed away. And I am deeply sorry for the things, the mean or rude things that I may have said. That's what makes you a human being. That's called accountability and integrity, is when you can admit that you were an asshole. And I was an asshole.
Right.
But what I'm getting at is we are all different. And the bottom line is I don't care what you believe in. I don't care if you choose that you identify as a turtle. I really don't care. The problem that we all have, and I think I speak for most people that are like-minded individuals, like such like me and you and Chris and our radio show and some of our listeners. The problem that we have is when you force an agenda on our children in school, that grooming, it's obvious grooming of the LGBTQ+. And like Ant said, I had conservative Ant on. He's a gay conservative. And I have his phone number, and I'm going to reach out to him because I really want him to come on and do his own radio show so you can listen to what he has to say, because he's a very, very intelligent individual. He's down in Florida. But he calls it the LGBT community. He says, I don't buy into the Q+. And I'm like, you know what? Like, you call it the LGB community. You refuse to, give the T of any whatever. Guess what? That's freedom. You can say LGB community, not say the TQ+, and still they'll call you a bigot or whatever, but you're just choosing to address them as you see fit without insulting them. And I don't understand why in society we have gone away from, why can't we, you can't force me to call you anything. If you're standing there
with
a mustache and a wig on with long hair, and you say you want to be called a woman, I'm sorry, I can't.
Nope.
If your name is Bob, I'm going to call you Bob. But my name is Bobby, and I'm a woman. But you got a mustache, like a beard and mustache, and Adam's apple. You had to go there, didn't you? But what I'm saying is, I don't mean to be rude to you, but don't force me to believe what you think you are. I think in most cases, the trans thing is obvious some kind of a mental dysfunction, in my opinion. And I'm not trying to say that and be mean. I'm just being truthful in my opinion, because when in history have we seen it so prevalent until now? What makes me think about it is the metro areas. They recently did a water study of the public water system, and the drugs, the anti-hormonal pills or anti-hormonal residue and antidepressants, all this shit was found in major metropolitan drinking water coming out of your tap. Has that had an effect on people's minds? And because you see the whole transgender issue more prevalent in metropolitan areas. So it makes me think, do they know that all this shit is going through the sewer system that they cannot possibly filter out? It's affecting people's minds, making them think of, I'm a boy and I'm a girl. Because it didn't happen back in the day, in the 70s and 80s and even the 90s. It didn't start becoming prevalent until late 2000s and into the 2010s, 12s, 13s. And now today, they're pushing for it. Are they trying to legalize pedophilia? Because you start hearing about the MAPS, the minor attracted persons. And I'm going to tell you something. I will never stand for that. It's not okay. But anyway, those are topics that I think about. To wrap this up, I'll let you speak. To finish out the show, Daryl, before I play the final All right. radio song to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. But I just want people to understand that when you listen to me talk, I'll go from subject to subject to subject to subject because I have a million things on my mind, a million things that I research, and this show helps me get a lot of things off my chest. So I truly appreciate the gentleman that has paid for this network for us to be on. And I'm not going to mention his name because he doesn't want his name mentioned. I just recently had a conversation with him this last week, yesterday or 2 days ago. He said, Jeremy, I want you to change the name of the radio network. I said, to what? The Disrespected Trucker Radio Show Network. I took it upon myself to change it. We are now the Disrespected Trucker Talk Radio Network. I'm going to have some really big news coming to all of you after the first of the year. We are going to be adding on a lot of shows. I'm hoping to get at least one show every day of the week from different people, different points of view. And if you know of a prevalent Democrat person that can talk, a liberal, and they want to come on and have a show on this network, I welcome them with open arms. A different viewpoint will never hurt anybody. So I will be filling up the slots very quickly. Now, you ain't going to get paid, just so you know. This is a free network, but we are going to give you an opportunity to come on a network of radio shows of conservatives, liberals, Democrats, truckers, whatever you may be. There's a few things that will not happen. You will not get on here and spew anything about transgenderism or MAPS, like minor attracted persons. Any of that grooming sick shit it ain't gonna happen. But I'm gonna have some exciting news. I'm working on a few things in the background right now with Kim, our producer, who wasn't able to come on tonight because of a prior engagement, but that's okay. But me and her will be in talks in the next week or two. We will be starting probably daily conference calls for hours and hours and hours on end because we're going to make a go of this in 2023. And my focus is to get the Disrespected Trucker Talk Radio Network as the number one show on blogtalkradio.com and the number one talked about show that isn't sponsored by any major sponsors. That is my goal. And that's what we're going to aim for, and that's what we're going to push for. And the only thing I ask from all of you is to please share this network out. You can just go to blogtalkradio.com. That's B-L-O-G, blog. Blog Talk Radio, all one word, blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you just type in the Disrespected Trucker Talk Radio Network. And when you type that in the search bar, it pops up right away. Has a picture of a truck with the Disrespected Trucker. Click on that, and you will get all of our radio shows when we start adding these other radio shows on. And trust me, the radio shows that we are going to start adding on after the first of the year are to blow your effing mind. Jacinda Lady Trucker is coming back to the network. Jacinda is a wonderful person. She only wanted an hour on Wednesday nights, I believe, which is fine. If you want an hour show, if you want a 2 hour show or a 3 hour show, I have a lot of slots to fill. And if you know somebody that you think would be good on air, I'll give them a try. I'll give them a run. And I know that they're not going to be perfect within the next, the first week or two or three or four. It's going to take them a while. I'll give them the breathing room to grow. I can do that. So if you know people, get them on. Contact the radio show. Get on our radio show, call in and say, hey, I've got somebody. your phone number will pop up on my switchboard when you call in. Say, hey, you don't even have to tell me who your name is. Just say, I know somebody that would be really good and they're interested. Will you take down my phone number? And I can look on my switchboard and see your phone number, and I can write down your phone number without anybody hearing what your phone number is and knowing what your phone number is. So there are ways to get a hold of us. Anyway, on that note, I just wanted you all to know that I'm working in behind the scenes. I'm busier than hell. We're going to make this network something huge, and we're all doing it free. We do not have sponsors. I do play a few ads from Bolsnot and Trucker Tools because I believe in them. That's the only reason they get played. They don't pay me to play them. I play them because I believe in their product. Trucker Tools and truckertools.com and Bolsnot. Great products, great tools, great apps and tools, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, Daryl, why don't you give us your final thoughts, and then I'm going to lead us out with some Bill Weaver Christmas music.
All right. Well, you know, like you said with the LBG thing, you know, I look at people like this. You know, I'll respect, I may not agree with what you do, and you definitely don't agree with what I do. So you can't call me a bigot because then you're doing the same exact thing. So you guys need to understand that. And number two, you know what? The pursuit of happiness. What you're going to do is what you're going to do. But, again, don't force it on us. Do not force it on our kids because that's something you don't do because I will stand up for my kids in a heartbeat. And, people, he made this offer to you. Look at it like this. This is a way to get your voice out because all these other corporate radio stations, they want you to have money. They want you to do this and that. You know what? Only thing he's asking is for you to come on and be yourself, you know, and be able to talk and communicate. And that's what we need to do. You know, I'm very truthful about what I say. I'm very cold about what I say because it needs to be out there. It's time for this pampering is done. And I am so glad that Jerry has me here on the show with him, Chris, and Kim. I am honored because I truly get to sit back and talk to everyone because I really care about this nation. I really care about the state of Colorado. I really care about our people, and I want things to get better. And I'm sick and tired of having people that are in office who doesn't run for office, they don't have enough nerve to stand up to them. No matter, people, I'm just telling you, when the time comes and I run for something else again, know this. This is who I am. It will not change. I will stand up for you. I will stand up against anyone I have to make things better and right. And that's what I believe in because I do believe in God. I am not the holiest of holies, and I'm not a perfect man. But I will stand up for what is right. And again, folks, please take advantage of what he's offering to you. Because if you look at it, no one else is going to do it. I've been blessed to be surrounded by a lot of I've been blessed to be surrounded by a lot of people. You know, people of Colorado, people out here in different states and in the trucking world. I just want to say thank you. And you, big man, thank you.
And in closing, before we go, I'll allow you. Hey, I'm going to tell you what you can say and what you can't know. I want you to go ahead and be able to say your Merry Christmases and to everybody, your family, and the listeners, if you would, real quick.
To the Giz family, Merry Christmas to McGinney family. Merry Christmas to Grin, Annette, Anthony. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Merry Christmas to all you truckers out there. And for the ones that have to be out here for Christmas, Merry Christmas to you. Be careful. Merry Christmas to everybody in the state of Colorado. I love you all. Ambrose, Merry Christmas to you. Please stay safe on the road because you know what? You're part of our finest, Denver's finest. Be careful, brother. I love all of y'all and everyone. Have a Merry Christmas. And if you don't celebrate Christmas or you do Happy Hanukkah or whatever, I'll say Merry Christmas. You say what you believe. Happy Hanukkah or whatever because that's called respect.
Awesome. And I, as a Disrespected Trucker radio show, I want to wish our listeners, our fellow truckers, our law enforcement, our EMS and our firefighters and nurses and healthcare workers that all work through the Christmas holiday, the truck stop worker, anybody that works through the Christmas holiday, and everybody in general. I just wanted to mention a few. We wish you from the bottom of our hearts the most Merry Christmas ever. And please,
amen.
Please be safe. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back next Thursday night. I'm not sure of the topic quite yet, but we're going to figure that out Monday and Tuesday of next week. But we will be here Thursday night, and I can promise you that we're going to bring you some more excitement. This one's going to probably be a pretty big one if we can make it happen. But on that note, ladies and gentlemen, please have a Merry Christmas. Be safe. Enjoy your families, and God bless each and every one of you.
Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless.
Santa harnessed up his reindeer and hooked him to a big old sleigh. Threw his pack across his back, he was ready to get underway. Kissed Mrs. Claus on the cheek, he said, I love you, girl, goodbye. I'll see you when I get home, but there's work to do tonight. Well, his first stop was in Fairbanks, but when he got into town, the DOT was waiting on him, and it was there they shut him down. So he called me and somebody's up on the telephone. Said, folks, I need some help here, could you get to the North Pole? With a pop of the clutch and a turn of the wheel, we were pointed towards the midnight sun. 1,000 long-haul drivers out to cover Santa's run. Cause you know us drivers, to get it done, we work all night and day. And that's how the truck drivers save the Christmas holiday. Well, we loaded up our trucks and headed all around the world, delivering toys and spreading joy to all the boys and girls. We delivered every package, yes, we drove all through the night, cause we loved the little children and we had to make things right. Well, they still talk about that Christmas Eve when high up on their roof, they heard the sounds of a Detroit diesel engine instead of reindeer hooves. And a duly tire tracks on a snowy rooftop, no doubt from a big old truck. And some driver in flip-flops sliding down a chimney that never once got stuck. Well, the ordeal finally over, and old Santa, he got released. He gave every driver a thermos of coffee and the keys to a brand new Beat. And a special set of studded snow tires for driving high up on them roofs. But all the DOT got was Christmas stockings that were full of reindeer poop. Cause you know us drivers, to get it done, we work all night and day. And that's how the truck drivers save Christmas holiday. Merry Christmas, y'all.